This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, January 24th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Senate candidates nod to farm bill, a push for farmer funding, and crop insurance politics. California Senate candidates differ on farm bill. A debate among the top Senate candidates spanned a myriad of topics in 90 minutes. Two of those minutes touched on priorities for the farm bill. Republican Steve Garvey called for supporting, quote, those who provide the food on our tables with investments in water and technology and thorough deregulation. Representative Katie Porter spun in the opposite direction, pushing for more regenerative ag and less water and pollution in food production. Representative Adam Schiff hit on social and labor issues. His top priority was to provide stronger assistance for those, quote, who are struggling to put food on the table. Yet he recognized California ag as, quote, a virtually important industry and was proud to have the support of the United Farm Workers calling for a pathway to citizenship for farm workers. Representative Barbara Lee pointed out that she is the only Democrat west of the Mississippi serving on the Ag Subcommittee in Appropriations. Her priority is nutrition assistance, and she noted pervasive food insecurity in the Central Valley. On that note, Sacramento Bee columnist Tom Phillip harangued Schiff and Porter, as well as Senator Alex Padilla, for dodging California's water politics, particularly with Governor Newsom's controversial Delta Tunnel plan. Air districts push for farmer funding. Budget committees held their first hearings on Tuesday. Much of the divide between the Newsom administration and the legislature centers on education and health care spending, yet subcommittees will soon dive into climate spending. One ag item brought up in the discussions was the governor's proposed cut to a program for upgrading tractors known as Farmer. Brenda Tohig, a lobbyist for the California Air Pollution Control Officers Association, pointed out that the budget approved last year had already trimmed farmer funding in half. The association, which represents officers from 35 districts, urged lawmakers to restore the funding to the full $250 million. Tohig argued that the program is, quote, highly cost-effective at reducing both criteria health pollutants and greenhouse gases. On that note, a coalition of farm groups is pressing for $75 million for alternatives to ag burning. The remaining dollars for this at the San Joaquin Valley Air District will last 3 months and pay for the cost of chopping and reincorporating the material into the soil. That, according to Roger Isom, president and CEO of the Western Agriculture Processors Association. He told the district that more money is needed to help farmers until new facilities for replacement technologies are built and operational. You could read more about Farmer in the AgriPulse West newsletter hitting inboxes later this morning. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Senate Ag Republican details farm bill differences. A senior Republican of the Senate Ag Committee, North Dakota Senator John Hovind, thinks his GOP colleagues have made some progress with Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow, at least when it comes to crop insurance. Stabenow who circulated a letter last week laying out her priorities on outstanding farm bill issues, supports the idea of increasing premiums for higher levels of area-based crop insurance policies. But Hovind says farmers shouldn't be forced to drop out of the commodity programs, agriculture risk coverage, and price loss coverage in return for getting those higher coverage levels. Stabenow, the Michigan Democrat, wants to provide farmers something like the Stax insurance option that's now limited to cotton growers. Farmers who buy Stax coverage can't enroll cotton base in ARC or PLC. If farmers buy higher levels of crop insurance, quote, you really reduce your need for ad hoc disaster packages in the future, Hovind said. And when you look at the size and scope of the farm bill, those are not huge costs. When it comes to addressing commodity programs, including raising PLC reference prices, Hovind concedes the two sides remain at odds. Quote, she's not there yet, he said of Stabenow. Time to move on spending bills. Hovind, the top Republican of the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, says lawmakers need to start working out details of the fiscal 24 spending bills, even though House and Senate leaders have yet to agree on the top lines for the 12 measures. The final numbers of the bills could be adjusted later, he reasoned. Lawmakers only have until March 1st to pass four of the bills, including the agriculture measure that funds USDA and FDA, and until March 8th for the other measures. SAF plant Vilsack will highlight to try out corn ethanol. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is scheduled to be in Georgia today to highlight the potential of using ethanol as a feedstock that can help meet the airline industry's demand for biofuel. Vilsack is to deliver the keynote address at the grand opening of the LanzaJet Freedom Pines fuel plant in Soperton. According to USDA, it's the first facility in the world that will be dedicated to the production of sustainable aviation fuel from ethanol. LanzaJet got approval from the EPA last year to earn biofuel credits under the Renewable Fuel Standard for SAF, made from Brazilian sugarcane ethanol, which has a lower carbon intensity than conventional corn ethanol. But a LanzaJet spokeswoman says the Soperton plant will start with U.S. ethanol. The company plans to, quote, continue to work with U.S. ethanol producers to secure increasingly lower carbon U.S. ethanol, the spokeswoman said. The company has grant funding from the Energy Department that requires LanzaJet to demonstrate SAF production from a range of ethanol sources. Why it matters? Well, because of its availability, ethanol is one of the most promising feedstocks for SAF. But making corn-based ethanol eligible for federal tax subsidies requires lowering the carbon intensity through various means, including changes in farming practices and sequestration of the carbon dioxide that's emitted from ethanol production. Finally, here's today's He Said It. What is the impact of those cuts on our ability to reach the goals that we've set for ourselves as a state? That's Assemblymember Steve Bennett of Ventura, who worried that reductions in climate spending could put the state behind on its goal to slash greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, January 24th, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.